Welcome to Unpacking Life's Crazy. I'm Esperanza Phoenix. In this podcast, I share my unusual life experiences, unique perspective, and frank conversations with people like me who use humor to cope with physical disabilities, mental health conditions, and extraordinary life circumstances which set us apart from societal norms. Expect to hear discussions about controversial and adult topics. There will be swearing. Life can be a crazy journey. Let's unpack it together. I did not expect to be recording this particular podcast. Today, I am going to be talking about monkeypox. What I'm about to offer is not medical advice, but as you know, if you listen to this podcast, I am a friend to the LGBTQ community and have friends and family amongst them. So when this particular friend called me as he was recovering from monkeypox, very concerned about himself, of course, but about how it would affect the community, he really wanted me to share his personal story. I thought it was valuable information to put out there, but it really isn't my story to tell. So I asked him if he could please come on the podcast. But because of the sensitive nature and also just because he has a life and nobody wants to become the poster boy for monkeypox, he's agreed to be here anonymously. So you will not be seeing his face and I will be disguising his voice. However, I want to be very clear that he is an open and proud gay man. There is no shame whatsoever in his lifestyle or how he contracted the virus or in having the virus. And I don't want anybody to think that there is any shame associated with that. Another warning and another reason why he's anonymous is because he is going to be very graphic about some of the symptoms. And honestly, some of them are really gross. So if you were planning on eating while listening to this podcast, I do not recommend that. You might lose your lunch. Another thing I would like to point out is we use humor to cope with things. So despite the seriousness of the topic, we will be handling it with some levity. And I don't want you to mistake any laughter for diminishing the seriousness of what's going on or to think that it means that I have less compassion for what he's gone through. So some of these things are things that you laugh at after you recover. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my dear friend. And what is your alias today?
Flash.
Flash. You will be going by Flash. Like I said, we like to incorporate humor. Another thing that since you cannot see Flash, I would like to give a slight description. He is in his 50s. He takes really good care of himself. So if you want to picture him in your head, imagine somebody who could be a model for one of those trashy romance novels. So, Flash, thank you for joining me today to share your horrific, horrific story about your experience with monkeypox.
Well, thank you, Esperanza. You say such sweet things about me.
Well, I do adore you. You're good people.
Oh, thank you.
So, how did this nightmare begin for you? Why don't we start there?
Okay, beautiful. It's a great place to start. It's at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, I had gone on a vacation.
Okay, so this is where you visited.
I visited Central Florida to see a buddy.
Uh-huh.
And we both went to No Towel Night at one of the bathhouses there.
Okay.
And we had a great time. Hooked up with a couple people, nothing too intense, and then, came home.
Uh-huh.
Nothing, I didn't get sick, there was nothing indicating that, I caught anything.
Right.
But when I got home, I decided to go to a bathhouse in the area in which I live.
Which is
LA County.
LA County, okay.
Now, the place was off the hook. It was jumping. Surprisingly so, more than usual. Had a great time, you know, had four great experiences. And didn't think anything of it. You know, I was really super happy.
And took names.
So I thought, you know, yeah, I actually got names and phone numbers, which is something you don't get anymore. You know, everyone is very into anonymous now, which is fine. I have no judgments. But It was really refreshing to have these guys that I was with. They gave me their number. They're like, hey, call me back. And it also meant that I did good. I performed well. So,
you know, you got a call back.
Exactly. I might have gotten the gig. So I come home thinking nothing of it. Mm-hmm. I go to work. A few days later, I'm feeling, you know, sort of feverish. Hmm. And, you know, I'm HIV positive, and there are times where I have little fevers, and, you know, I call them hot flashes, right? Because... Because I'm at that age where I get to have one. That's my privilege, right? So,
living vicariously, you know. Now let's go back to the HIV positive, though. You do take medication regularly, which then controls that.
Those folks that are HIV positive and they take meds regularly cannot transfer it to other people.
Right, and it keeps you healthy.
And that's been true for many, many years. It just took the United States a little bit of time to allow its citizens to know that.
Right.
Anyway, so I went to work for a few days, you know, felt feverish. I thought I'd kind of get through it. Mm-hmm. I thought, maybe I've caught like syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea. I mean, I've caught them all, but no big deal.
Right. Take some antibiotics, you're fine.
Yes, we're great.
Right.
Press on. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really, I thought maybe, but no. Right. So I, you know, had a couple days off. There was a fever I just couldn't shake. Uh-huh. So I called my job and said, look, I can't shake this. My bosses were like, fine, take care of you. Let us know what happens. I went to a clinic, got tested, but couldn't get treated because the clinic that I went to doesn't do that anymore.
Okay, that's weird.
It is weird. They used to, you know, they used to test and treat on site. But however, they don't do it anymore. They announced that they weren't doing that unless you were actually physically, you know, sick. Hmm. Or you could physically produce a symptom.
Now, but you have insurance.
I have insurance.
But you have insurance, so you don't necessarily have to go to a free clinic. Not everybody has that option, unfortunately.
I went to the free clinic because their free clinics are better in the way that they test and treat in the same day.
Ah.
Versus me going to my primary doctor, you got to get an appointment two weeks later, then you see the, you know, like it's just a quicker, easier way.
Now, at this point, did you suspect monkeypox or?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not.
You were feverish and didn't know what was going on.
Right. However, that doesn't mean that, you know, I've had syphilis many times. And many times, you know, I've gotten a little feverish, feeling a little flu-like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just basically where my head frame was.
Okay.
So I was communicating with my job. You know, they're very good communicators. And I said, you know, I don't know really what's wrong. I don't have a fever anymore because it took me three hours later. I left the clinic, didn't have a fever anymore. You know, felt okay. So I thought, you know, just call your primary doctor. Like, what are you doing? Got a hold of my primary doctor. And I said, look, I think I've caught something. They were like, great, come on in. They gave me my penicillin shot and they gave me some antibiotics. Bingo, bango, I was good. So I start taking them thinking I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So I notice that evening, a little pimple on my unit. And I'm thinking, it's a pimple, no big deal. Mm-hmm. It'll go away.
Right.
The next day, there was another one on my right testicle. Mm. And my hoo-ha You know, my butthole felt a little weird, but I just thought, well, honey, you just had it tore up by two tops in 4 hours. Like, yeah. It'll heal.
recovering.
Didn't think too much about that.
Right.
So when I saw it the next day, when I saw one on my right testicle, the one on my unit was bigger, I was like, oh, fuck.
Mm.
Monkeypox. So I remained calm.
It is good not to panic.
Remain calm.
Yes, always, you know, remain calm.
It's an STD. I'm about to upgrade my horror card. You know, now I can blow metaphoric cigarette smoke from my mouth and be like, I've won. You know, I'm the king of them all.
Unfortunately, you don't get like a free ice cream or anything for that shit. I'm sorry.
Maybe we should start something, you know? You know, what I did find interesting about when monkeypox first surfaced, mm-hmm. is it seemed, according to the medical community, that you had to have something already, or you have to have had an STD prior to getting your vaccine. So me and my friends were joking about that, because guess what? I got vaccinated, you know, right away, because... Uh-huh. They looked at my whore card and they said, oh, we're taking you first, honey, versus my friends that have been, you know, different boys with different thoughts on sex, and they've never had an STD, and they've been oh so careful, and they were asked to step to the back of the line. So, of course, me and my friends have been kicking it up about this whole entire thing. At any rate, moving forward.
So they decided, okay, Flash here is high risk.
Right. You know, I joked with my friends. I said, well, maybe you should go out and get chlamydia or gonorrhea or something like that. Please join us for once or first.
They'll move you to the front of the line.
Come join me. We'll have lunch after. It'll be great. So anyway.
So you were twice vaccinated. And so, so that might have also contributed to when you first got that fever, not even being like, this isn't monkeypox because I already got vaccinated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I thought nothing of monkeypox. Didn't give it a second thought, you know, because, you know, our community, you know, got maybe 25 minutes of press on it and then it went away.
Yes.
You know, COVID's the big movie star of the world, not monkeypox. So that was also a reason that I just didn't think, you know, I just didn't put, wasn't in the forefront of my thinking. And I've never caught COVID, so that was out.
Well, since you brought that up, I wanted to point out that part of the reason I'm having you on this podcast is because the fact that monkeypox does seem to primarily be affecting the gay community and the LGBTQ community, it seems like that's part of the reason why it seems to have dropped off in the mainstream media. It's like, oh, well, this is another one of those gay diseases, so we don't have to worry about that. We're not going to like talk about the general public about that, because obviously grandma and grandpa aren't going to get it.
We can definitely think in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
We can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then we got to be careful of who we're going to damage with that kind of thought, right?
Right. It affects everybody, and it absolutely can spread to the heterosexual community.
Exactly.
You're just as susceptible. You know, I'm sorry, you have a dick, you have a vagina, you're susceptible, because that tends to be where it's spreading. It's not spreading necessarily... I mean, it can spread, I guess, based on I just read the CDC website, and it can spread from close contact, like from your breath or spittle or whatever. It can spread in that way. It's just a lot more likely to spread sexually from close physical contact. So,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yes, we could definitely think more in that direction. You know, oh, it's another gay sex disease.
Yeah.
We can. I mean, we could. When that entered my orbit upon my recovery, but we can touch on that in a little bit later,
right.
In a couple minutes. So I called my doctor, you know, right away, you know, called work, called my doctor. Of course, then they could see me right away. Right away, they were like, oh my gosh, get him in here. Now, I will tell you about my experience at the doctor. My doctor has been my doctor for, gosh, almost 26 plus years.
Wow.
And for the first time, you know, in my life, I'm a Gen Xer, so we didn't have to really suffer this kind of situation, because when in the 80s we were young, we saw things, we didn't have to experience anything. So this was the first time I experienced this.
And I think what you're talking about for our younger viewers in particular, or listeners, is the AIDS epidemic. And which, as you say, perhaps at that time you weren't super aware of. I mean, you were aware of it, but, you know, whatever, it wasn't super traumatic.
Yeah, we hadn't experienced anything yet because we were young kids and teenagers. We weren't even out of the house yet. So at least a lot of us were not, you know, because I don't want to leave out my contemporaries that were out in their teenagers.
Yeah. And I personally just am a really empathetic person. So I was following the news and feeling absolutely horrible for these people and the discrimination they were facing in the medical community, in the general community. It was, I just witnessing from afar, certainly not involved in those communities at that time, other than being involved in theater. And it was ugly. It was awful. There was a lot of hatred and discrimination and bigotry going on. And that kind of thinking is another reason why you're here anonymously.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because it still exists.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, people do it now on a much quieter level.
Right.
Because we've sort of browbeat everyone, you know, without realizing it, into just not saying anything at all.
Right. Bit of history. Okay.
Exactly.
So you go to your doctor.
So I go to my doctor. And she's like, you have to stay outside and we'll come get you. And I was like, what? And I was like, wow, okay, fine. I'm a really liberal, very open-minded person. I get it. It's monkeypox. I guess this is their protocol.
Yeah. Scary.
Nonetheless, it was a little stinging considering that I'd never experienced treatment like that.
Right,
ever.
Right.
So I stay outside. I wait my turn. They come and get me. They said, you know, we have to prepare a room for you. And I'm thinking, prepare a room for me? Like, what do you got to do to it? And I'm thinking, okay, monkeypox, COVID, I guess these protocols are similar.
Right.
So I get into the room and I'm waiting, you know, and my doctor comes in, mind you, I've known for many years, in full, like, scrubs and the cap and the gloves and the mask. And he's...
So he's, like, in full, like, hazmat kind of, yeah... Hazmat light.
Exactly. Because I don't want to, mislead the viewers in their visualization of what's happening.
He wasn't treating you like an alien invasion, but definitely a lot more caution than.
Yes. Very different. Mm-hmm. So he comes in. I drop my pants. He scrapes my lesions, puts the thing back in the plastic thing and says, okay, you know, I'll test you. I'll call you with the results and you have to go.
That sounds painful.
And, you know, escorts me to the back stairs of the building where I had to exit through, like, a back door.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, I get it. It still felt weird. It still felt weird.
Yeah.
Like, human side of me felt funny.
Yeah. You felt, you know, they were treating you like a leper.
A little bit, yeah. And I, you know, being human's very inconvenient, let me tell you, because my spiritual side and my empathetic side was like, you know, Flash, they just have to do this. This is what they got to do.
Right.
So anyway, so moving forward, so I go home and I'm off work for 2 days. You know, they gave me a note and that's when this thing started to get worse.
Now, at that point, the note just said, you know, you were off awaiting test results?
Yes.
Okay. So they didn't know yet, but just as a precaution, you were to stay home.
Yes. My doctor did tell me you were to stay home and stay in your house for the next 2 days.
Okay. So you were quarantined just in case to see what happened.
Right. I mean, the doctor knew, I knew, but the test has to, you know, there has to be a test, you know, there has to be the proof, right?
Right. Confirmation.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's when the symptoms got a little worse. I started having these, what I call, like, I don't know, rectal seizures, where it felt like there was a vice grip at the end of my rectum that separated my rectum from my intestines.
Ouch.
And it was almost like giving birth to a child. There was no, you know, poop involved, but there was this gray matter that was coming out. and I had no control. Like, these would come on, and I'd have to run to the bathroom, and I mean, all I could do was hold on to either wall in my bathroom and just scream and try to breathe through it and just try to get through it. It was very scary. I've never experienced this before.
Yeah, no, that sounds absolutely awful. Yeah.
And so I'm going through this, okay, so, you know.
And you're passing unidentifiable matter.
Correct.
Yeah.
Some of it was full on gray solid. Some of it was this gel, see-through gel with lots of little specks in it.
Ew.
And of course, you know, I don't have, at this point, I have really nothing for pain. I'm like, just trying to get through this. You know, right. I'd lay on the bed and I could feel my entire rectum just be sore from all the pushing.
Ouch.
And then I'd have to go back and do it again. Like, I wasn't getting any time to at least recover, lie down, breathe, at least take an aspirin, something. It was kind of relentless at this point.
Well, also you live alone. So that must have been a little bit scary too. I mean, even if you didn't live alone, you wouldn't want to expose somebody to the monkeypox.
Yes.
But also that you're going through this by yourself is also additionally distressful.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So 2 days later, my doctor calls me and he's very, you know, the phone call was a little on the quick side. You know, he said, look, you've tested positive for monkeypox. He's like, you know, because you're so healthy and you're a gym goer and I've just known you for so long and you only had two. I think you'll be out for a week and I'm not going to prescribe the meds that they have in our arsenal for you at this time.
So they thought that you would probably fare pretty well just based on your overall good health.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, okay, I have to go by. You know, I didn't tell him what I was going through. I didn't ask questions because the phone call itself was very rushed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, the healthcare organization I'm with, they're very short-staffed. There's more clients than they can handle at times. And I'm very empathetic towards them about that because they've been keeping me alive for so many years. I am willing to work with that.
Right. It's good to have a physician you know and a place that you feel comfortable with, even if it's sometimes not the level of care that we would hope for.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Once that's, you know, he gave me, you know, a letter for work. He was very on top of that. Right. Mm-hmm. Gave that to my work, talked to my bosses, everything's fine.
And they handled that well?
They did. They were very kind. They dealt with, you know, employees getting COVID. So this was like that's something new for them.
Mm-hmm.
You're fortunate that your work was very compassionate
about the situation.
Yeah, they were very on point. You know, I was patient one for them. But it was fine. I didn't really worry about it too much because I'm more concerned about my direct, you know, health.
Right, right.
So I just trusted them to take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when the hell got worse. Once I got my positive results,
right.
The following day, the LA County Public Health called me. They knew right away.
Wow. Infectious disease. They're spreading. They've got to report that and pay attention. And by the way, before we went on, I went to that CDC site and in the Los Angeles area, there have been something like over 5,600 cases.
Yes.
Already. So it's a lot. Yeah. It's happening and they got to keep track of that.
Yes. So it was very impressive, you know, like for syphilis, you know, they call me 2 or 3 days later, or if it was the weekend, they call on Monday, you know, I was all up for those conversations. But this was a little bit more alarming because it was fast.
Right.
They called fast. And I told her what my symptoms were. Now, throughout the night, these seizures were getting worse, and they were getting so, you know, bad to where I wouldn't make it to the bathroom before spewing this gray matter onto my carpet.
Ew.
It was just, yeah, it was getting worse, and it was, you know, I was like, I almost, you know, I love life on this planet. I've never, you know, suicide's never been in my brain, it's never been in my psyche, but I almost wanted to die. The pain was so excruciating. because and it was a lot of it was because I couldn't control it.
Right.
My body was doing what it wanted to do to try to get rid of this virus. Now, I will say, in that regard, I have a great system because it detected trouble and it was really trying to get rid of this. So, and it just wasn't happening.
And unfortunately, it had no respect for your poop shoot whatsoever.
Not at all. That's where it was all happening. There was a big party in my hole and not the good kind.
Yeah.
So.
Not good. Yeah.
But it was impressive. Like, this woman was like, do you have your results? I said, I'm not going to get, I can't get a hold of my results. So Monday, she was like, I'm going to call you back. In less than 5 minutes, she called me back. I've got your results sitting in front of me. I'm faxing them over to West Hollywood Urgent Care. You need to go there.
Wow.
Yes. I was like, holy crap. Like,
they were on top of it.
Yeah, very on point. So I get in the car, drive there, you know, in a struggle. I was in with the doctor in 10 minutes.
Wow.
And this doctor was utterly amazing. Like,
And was he in the hazmat gear too, or
he was not as much. Real relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his mannerisms were very relaxed. Like he'd probably been taking care of other people, that are of this nature. Because
you were probably the first one your doctor had seen, and he kind of like panicked. And this guy had seen some shit. So
that's very possible. Yeah. Very possible. So I just let him know. I'm like, dude, this is crazy. I'm in a lot of pain. I need you to look up my ass and tell me what the fuck's going on. I took off all my clothes and bent over that exam table, and not in the medical way. You know, my primary doctor's like, on your side. I did not care. Like, you're going to get porno bend over. I don't care. I need you to stick that pro. And he was like, absolutely, let's do it. He was so accommodating.
You're like, I'm going to show you something.
Yes, exactly. And I need you to look at it. So when I bent over, you know, he's like, you have three more lesions around your hole. And once he put the probe in there, he's like, look, because I thought I had monkeypox inside my rectum. And he's like, it doesn't appear so, but your rectum is so swollen. That's what you're feeling. He goes, and what you've been trying to excrete is the virus. There could be some in you. He goes, I just didn't see any because of the swelling.
Mm-hmm.
He immediately said, we're putting you on these medications. They were free. So
that's great.
They were free. He told me, you know, he gave me all the directions on what kind of food to eat. I had to have to. He said, you have 600 calorie meals.
Mm-hmm.
When you take these meds and the doses that I direct you to take them in, but you have to add 25 milligrams of fat. So, of course, then I stood up in my muscular self and I was like, for that one moment, I was like, I said, does this body look like I consume fat? Like, in that one, like, I got a millisecond of my vanity took over.
This is no time for vanity. You're trying to save your ass and the rest of you.
Yeah. And he looked at me and he said, well, you know, you could do avocado, but that's a lot of guacamole, man. So, of course, I was like, okay, you're right. Okay, let's keep moving. And he just took solid care of me. He didn't, you know, the appointment wasn't rushed or anything like that. So it was a contrast to my primary care doctor. Mm-hmm. Again, I love my primary care doctor. But this guy was just like on top of it. You know, he sent me home. You know, at that point, you know, I've always been very good about like STDs. You catch them, you get rid of them, you're fine. You know, no self-judgment, no nothing. But this was really scary for me. Like, for the first time in my like life, I was like scared. Like, I wasn't even afraid when I became positive for HIV. This like was scary.
Well, you're rapidly sick and you're feeling really, really awful. Whereas with HIV, it's a process. It's not like you're instantly, you know, feeling like you're pooping your guts out through your backside or anything. You didn't feel like so sick like that.
No, that's not entirely true, because when I fell sick from HIV, it did come on quick.
Oh, it did.
And hard.
Really?
The thing is I can control my capacities, though. Okay?
Your faculties,
Yeah. So I could not control that. You know, the flu, I'm used to it. But this, and being fluish, was not used to that. So that's what made this kind of different, right?
Right.
At any rate, I had
a question. You said that like your medications and everything you got were free through this place, the emergency room or where they sent you. Do you know if that is something that's been arranged through the CDC to make sure that everybody gets treatment and controls the virus? Or is this do you have any idea of whether that's the protocols for that reason?
I really don't know. But what I do know about the medications is I looked it up and the TPOXX medications I'm taking were not cleared for the FDA to take for monkeypox. They were only cleared by the FDA to take for smallpox, but there's a compassion clause in that. It allowed the CDC and the medical community to dispense that medication because at least that's going to lessen our suffering.
Right.
Which is why they call it a compassion clause. That I want to be clear about. The fact that they were free means there's a problem in the community. It's happening. There were all these bells that were going off in my mind as to, oh my gosh, this could be AIDS to the sequel.
Right.
Because this is what I was gathering. I was like, okay, my primary doctor, there was a little bit of strange treatment there. It wasn't bad. It was just different.
Right.
You know, two, medications are free. Three, my urgent care doctor was on top of this. He was all over me. He was really quick with the information. He was very adamant about the importance of doing exactly as he was telling me to do.
Right.
So moving on, when I got home, the seizures were horrible. They were in full tilt boogie. Even though I took medications right away, I bought a nice fatty meal. I think I might have bought ice cream or macaroni and cheese or something, like reluctantly eating this stuff, destroying the beautiful 12-pack that I used to own. But I did it, took the pills. Now, the one thing that dawned on me was, you know, I usually have a bowel movement every day. I hadn't had a bowel movement in 2 days. And now I'm eating these fatty foods that I don't normally eat, and I'm, like, nervous. So another indication about how the seriousness of this is that urgent care doctor called me at the end of his day.
Wow.
Doctors never call people at the end of the day unless you're dying, right? So, or you're extremely ill, which is rare, right? He calls me and I tell him, I'm like, doc, I haven't had a crap in 2 days. I was issued some, you know, ibuprofen from my primary doctor that I picked up really quick. I said, but, you know, I'm nervous because of taking painkillers, getting constipated.
Right.
This disease is preventing me from having a bowel movement. All I'm shitting out is this stuff.
And that's weird too. It's like you're passing something, but it's not what you need to be passing.
Yes, exactly. And so I told him, I said, look, I'm nervous. I've had issues with possible sepsis in the past, you know, because we all have moments in our life where we're drinking too much coffee, moving too fast, going to the gym, we're not drinking enough water, we forget to eat fruit, you know, and dates and things like that. And, you know, I had that issue once, and it's dangerous to have because it can kill you.
Right.
He immediately was like, okay, I'm going to prescribe you a pain block, a nerve blocker, not a painkiller. You can go pick it up right now. And I want you to do like the magnesium citrate or Miralax, drink half the bottle tonight, half the bottle 24 hours. And that should settle that.
Right. And that's the stuff, I think, isn't that the same stuff they give people when they're trying to have a colonoscopy or something? Like it helps flush everything out?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I pick up my nerve blocker, go to look for it. I went to 5 big stores. They were all out of magnesium citrate. So, of course, my mind's going to, everybody's sick. Right? I'm like, that's why, because everybody's catching this. So, of course, I get the Miralax as an alternative. No big deal. I come home. You know, I dilute it with like aloe vera juice because I want at least something soothing going through my digestive system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wait, but waiting was horrible. Now I'm bloated. I'm still having, you know, the seizures because I only have one dose of these meds in my system. And of course, the meds are new.
Right.
So all the minions in my body are like, oh my God, here comes a new thing. You know, like little construction workers are trying to process this one dose. But at the same time, the monkeypox virus is still very alive and well and is sort of trying to destroy me. So I'm just like, it was very scary. It was extremely painful.
Didn't you also have like a weird side effect from this nerve thing? This nerve pain?
Yes. Then I was taking Neurontin and of course didn't know that it makes you tired.
Mm-hmm.
And it also makes your speech either slurry or I started to stutter, you know, when I was trying to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just couldn't really talk very well at all.
Right.
You know, stuttering, like snap, crackle, pop kind of thing. And
yeah.
I would drop things because I would pick something up and then I would have like a little convulsion in a way and drop it.
Yeah.
So then there's that.
Well,
so
when we first spoke, you were still, your speech was a little weird during that conversation when you first shared this with me. It was, and
yes.
you were apologizing because you were having to, you were like, ah, what's going on?
Yes.
Yeah.
So now we've lost our ability to talk. Now, needless to say, about 4 hours later, I had five amazing bowel movements. I was so happy. My tummy was flat. And I was, but I was less afraid. I was okay, thank God that whatever clamp was inside my rectum, cutting my rectum off from the rest of me has now been taken away. At least now my digestive system knows how to do that.
Right. So you're functioning more normally. And that's reassuring.
Yes. So I'm thinking, okay, this isn't as bad. You're just going to have to bite through the rest of this
mm-hmm.
until these meds start to work. Now,
right.
My urgent care doctor told me, Flash, the fourth day is the golden day. He goes, just get yourself to the fourth day and all the symptoms will start to lessen. Things will start to go in reverse. Things will start to dry out and you're going to start to recover.
Right.
Check this out. This is what he also tells me. He goes, now, just so you're aware, these medications we're giving you for monkeypox decreases the effectiveness of your HIV meds during the time you're taking them.
Wow.
So, and I'm like, great. Bring on more stuff.
Right. Like the last thing you need to do is have your immune system going down at the same time you're dealing with this bullshit.
Yes, I don't need to produce the viral load trying to get rid of something else, which was another indication like this is not my daddy's syphilis.
Mm-hmm.
This is another thing where I was like, this is making this extremely serious. So I get myself through that. Now, LA County Public Health had a nurse assigned to me who also called me on the phone just to see how I was doing. I find LA Public Health amazing.
That's great.
Like, they bit this in the bud real quick. You know, they knew about me. They knew about my results less than 24 hours after, you know, my primary care doctor put them in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were very impressive. It was impressive. I was just like, thank God there's someone that knows I'm here. I live alone. You know, they knew I was somewhere. I will say this. My nurse at my primary care doctor's place was amazing. Like, she tried so hard to, like, help. I was prescribed lidocaine.
Oh.
Couldn't do it because the drugstore that had it was like, we can't read the writing of your doctor, so we have to call your doctor. And I said, it's Saturday. My doctor's not going to be until Monday. Well, then we're going to have to call him on Monday. So, of course, you know, the drugstores to me in LA, like, they're of no help sometimes. It's like, and you're like, I can't read the writing. Now, I can't fault them because if you can't read someone's writing, you can't read someone's writing. But the point is when I reached out to my nurse at my primary doctor's place,
mm-hmm.
she worked really hard to get me that, you know, in spite of me not just being able to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, my butthole is so sore from wiping, right,
mm-hmm.
the toilet paper. So it's sore. It's just in so much pain. But, however, a friend of mine came to my aid. You know, he directed me could use something else that works. It's not what's recommended to put on your butthole, but it worked. So, I mean, you know, I had friends coming forward.
Is this a home remedy?
Well, no, it's off the shelf. You know, it was Ambisol.
Huh. Okay.
So okay. And at this point, I didn't care what it was.
Wait, isn't that for tooth pain?
Yes, but the point is there, you know, there's a numbing agent in it. So
yes, okay.
At this point, I just needed this pain to go away.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. If you got to put teething medicine up your butt, then fine.
Well put. Very well said. Very well said. So once I got this stuff under control, my mind started going like, I had questions. Okay, so I call my L.A. County public health nurse. Mm-hmm. Of course, I started asking her questions, and that's when she gave me information that she didn't give me before, which is fine. I mean, things are going to unfold the way they unfold.
Right.
And I said, you know, once I finish this 14 days of medication, does that mean I'm out of the woods and I'm cured? And she said, well, glad you asked that. She said, once you finish the medications, the monkeypox virus can remain in your sperm from 12 to 15 weeks after you're cleared to go back into work and into the world.
Wow.
So I'm like, what?
Wow. So you're not suffering anymore, but you could be very, very much contagious. And yeah.
But only if you fuck someone.
Well, you know, I'm sure if you like did it into somebody's eyes, that would also not be good.
Because it's in your sperm.
Right.
So now we're carriers.
Wow. Yikes.
Now, I asked her then, okay, let's say I take the meds, you know, and I have sex with someone else that took the meds.
Uh-huh.
Can we pass it back and forth?
She said,
we don't know. Another, I don't know. Right?
Ooh.
At least with HIV, they knew if you're medicated, you know, you can have sex with other medicated people and you can't pass it. Right?
Right. Or, yeah, if you both have it, then you both, then it's not like going to make either of you sick.
Exactly.
Right.
But
because
this, they don't know. So,
wow.
I said, okay, let me ask you this. After the 12 to 15 weeks, is there a test we can take that tells us where we are with being positive still or negative result? And she said, we don't know. Or so far, we do not have one.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, holy Christ, like this thing.
So you don't even know, they can't tell you definitively whether or not you might be contagious for this thing.
They can't, yeah, they don't know. She told me, look, if you wear a condom, it's less likely you're going to spread it. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to interject that when I checked the CDC site, I did not see this particular information, but I was actually really impressed at how specific their information for the gay community was in how it transmits and stuff and possible ways to mitigate that. And one of the things they suggested was the wearing of leather and latex garb to protect exposed flesh from transmission. I also thought it was really funny because when they talked about sexual transmission, they said through vaginal, you know, penile contact and anal sex. But everywhere where they listed anus, they had in parentheses butthole.
Wow. Now that is gay community one.
I was laughing my ass off. I was like, excuse me, but doesn't everybody in the gay community know that anus means butthole?
Well, or either that or the CDC's just developed a good sense of humor.
But that was one of the suggestions, was latex or leather outfits in order to protect your exposed skin as well. So, yeah,
wow.
They expect you to have a full raincoat from top to bottom.
So I could do BDSM now and I'll be okay.
Yes, BDSM is safer.
All right. Okay. So there's still hope for me. Great. So at this rate, I thanked her, you know, for all this information. It was all scary information, though. Mm-hmm. It all pointed to I could have this thing for the rest of my life.
Well, you know, we're talking 12 to 15 weeks right now, so let's not panic.
I understand, but this is like how I was feeling in that
moment.
Right,
I understand.
You know, again, being mortal is very inconvenient. You know, I have a pretty good spiritual center, but man, it was being shaken up, you know?
Well, and it's scary when they don't know. That's the hard part. It's like,
yes.
It's a developing situation. They don't know enough about the virus yet. There's a lot of, you know, what ifs and speculation and stuff that they just don't know. And that brings us back to those sexual partners whose number you happen to get. And did they know the 12 to 15 week thing?
When I called them, one, you know, to tell them, hey, man, I have monkeypox. Right. Just letting you know.
You've been exposed.
Yeah. Two of them were like, oh, yeah, I've already had it. It didn't faze me that they told me that they already had it. Mm-hmm. Right. But the way that the tone in which they used it was very casual.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them was like, yeah, I had it in July and it is now October. That's not 12 to 15 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, and none of us were wearing condoms. That's just what, you know, it's what we do. Now I didn't get all up in their stuff about that. What that told me is, one, they may not know.
Right.
You know, or they were told and disregarded it because, hey, let's just face it. It may be after six, they were like, I just can't not do it, right? You know, that carnal knowledge that, you know, men have, you know, gets to us. So I wasn't really after all that. What I was after was, what was your experience?
Right.
Now, one of my guys told me what his experience was, and I just wanted to feel like, okay, that's the same experience I have. I'm on point. Mm-hmm. Things are going to be fine. I just wanted to make sure that my body wasn't doing something crazy or out of whack, or that might require me to go to the hospital because what everybody's experiencing, I'm not experiencing. You need to go to the hospital.
Right. You just kind of wanted to compare. And for example, one of the reasons we're putting this information out there is like people aren't talking about the symptoms and what people are going through. So you have no way of knowing whether, is this normal? Is this abnormal? Is this in the middle as far as what you're experiencing? So, yeah.
So I did ask him, how long did it take you to heal? My July guy was like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Another guy was like 4 weeks. And that matched what my nurse was telling me. Now, mm-hmm. Now this is where it gets abstract. I had another play buddy. Mm-hmm. Maybe 2-3 months prior, I asked him, hey, were you vaccinated? He was like, well, I've already had it. Now, I was already vaccinated twice, mm-hmm. right? So him and I carried on, never caught anything from him.
Hmm.
At all. So that was my first, like, what? Talk to another friend. Mm-hmm. His experience was nothing like mine.
Really?
His experience was so not that. It was barely an experience.
It was just mild.
Oh, gosh.
Mild symptoms.
Like one pustule, like no fever, no sick, nothing. It went away, did the treatment, bingo, bango, we're good, like syphilis.
Well, is he a fatty? Maybe the fat prevents it.
You know, he's not. So then I call a buddy of mine in Northern California, and he puts his feelers out there, talks to his doctors, and calls me back and says, you know, doctors are perplexed. Tops are getting this stuff in their ass. Bottoms are getting this stuff everywhere but their butt. And the doctors aren't sure why that is. Some people aren't suffering as much as others. And again, you know, this is how the AIDS thing was kind of going. I mean, it was people were suffering, but, you know, at different levels, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't know why that is. You know, I got it on both ends, right?
Yeah.
Now, when I took the medication, I got one on the inside of my ankle, then I got one on the inside of my thigh. So
it kind of spread it to other locations somehow.
A little bit, yeah. And then, you know, like my West Hollywood urgent care doctor said, hey, the pills, when you take them, when you first take them, they're going to do that a little bit. That's just, you know, you got to deal with it, which is fine. I wasn't worried about it because I wasn't like covering them or anything.
No, but that is a possibility, right? Some people have had it like blow up everywhere.
Yes. And then some people haven't.
Right.
And no one can get a handle on why that is. So now the uncertainties that we have are we don't know if two carriers can infect each other. We don't have a test currently, you know, as of today, to test you to see if you're out of the woods, right? To see if you're negative or to see if it's under control, you know, or even if you have a titer, you know, at least when you have syphilis, you know, you have a little bit of it for the rest of your life, but you have a titer that the doctors go by. And a titer, you know, will tell you if you need to take antibiotics or not. There's not even a test or a titer to anything like that at this point as of today that I'm aware of, right?
And it's, as I understand it, it's also not like, well, people get chicken pox and then they can't get chicken pox again. You know, that's why when in our day, parents used to send you over to spend time with the chicken pox kids so you could get it when you were young, so you wouldn't get it when you were old.
Yes.
So can you get it again then?
They don't know.
So they don't know.
My nurse said, you know what? I'm going to say yes. Because she was basically letting me know, like, this point, I'm going to say yes as a preventative statement to you.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, wear a condom. Like, just, you're going to have to explore wearing condoms and enjoying wearing condoms. And that's that.
Be safe. Be safer, because this is no joke. This isn't just run down to the doctor and take your antibiotics or whatever. This is serious.
It is. And, you know, I really feel a little afraid for my brothers that are married, that have boyfriends, that have husbands. And, you know, what if they have, you know, they play on the side, which a lot of them do, and they catch that, you know, like, it's just, this is so much more harmful in different ways that nobody's aware of right now.
Right.
This is scary. And, you know, I came on here today because I wanted to shine light on this. I don't think it's getting enough attention. I think that, you know, it's a very unbalanced application of information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of my friends or my playbuds are taking, you know, I don't know if they took light of it when they were going through it,
mm-hmm.
but they were being very light when I was discussing this with them.
Wow.
And that doesn't really say much, you know, because I don't know what they went, you know, I don't know what they went through completely. I don't know if they're telling the full truth. I don't know if they were letting me know. So, to comfort me, so I would maybe not suffer as much psychologically.
Right. So they didn't want to freak you out?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a lot in there. I think there's some love in there for each other.
Right.
And so, but at the same time, like, this is not a joke. Like, at this point, you know, I'm still in treatment. I'm on my second week. I feel amazing. Lesions are going away. You know, I touch my asshole. And it feels like Flash's asshole instead of this foreign, weird, you know, lopsided, crazy directions. You know, I'm starting to feel, you know, normal.
Your butthole is back. Yay.
Right. However, you know, I got to walk around. Like, I have to go to the supermarket completely dressed. I have to wear a mask. Because you're still considered, you know, contagious, even though you're in your second week of healing. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to be cleared by my doctor at the end of this week in order to go back into the world, or in order to go back into work, or back
to society,
or back to the gym and all that kind of stuff, you know. But at the same time, I'm still toxic. From 12 to 15 weeks.
Yeah. Well, at least then it will just be toxic sperm, which isn't great, but at least, you know, sweating on equipment in the gym isn't going to spread it.
Correct. So, like, you know, and, you know, I enjoy topping. I do. But the reality is, if I want to, you know, I'm going to have to wear a condom because even my buddies that are like, oh, I've had it already, either they know and they are just being men, right? They know, and they want to ignore it. You know, like I know. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I know. I don't want to give.
Right. You know, even you're being responsible. You're trying to be responsible. But that also means being responsible and asking your partners to, if they're topping, to put on a condom, because you don't know what if you can catch it again.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm really feeling for my brothers that have been HIV positive, and then this happens to them. Like, our immune systems are only going to be able to take so much. Right. And even the immune systems of my younger brothers, you know, people in their 20s and 30s who think they're going to live forever. You know, I can't see this virus doing so much less damage that they can do this 2, 3, 4 times.
Yeah.
You know, you catch this 2, 3, 4 times, your immune system's going to be fucked up. Mm-hmm. And then if you catch HIV after this, then, you know, no one knows what that kind of damage is going to do to someone, right? This could potentially, you know, really kill off another generation, which brings me to the fact that, you know, for me, this looks as if it's AIDS 2, the sequel, because you suffer so much until you don't. Mm-hmm. But then there's aftermath.
Right.
And then there's other things that are attached to this that nobody knows about.
Yeah. And for example, we don't, you know, if it's like chickenpox, does the virus go dormant for a while and come back as shingles? I mean, it's a pox.
You know, what's funny is I have been vaccinated for everything. My primary doctor is awesome. You know, he tells me, hey, it's time for this. It's time for this. You're your age. It's time to come in for shingles. It's time to come in for your COVID boosters. It's time to come in for this. And that's the thing. I was vaccinated from this.
Yeah.
And got this pretty harshly.
How much worse would it be if you weren't vaccinated? I mean.
Oh, there's something I can add to that. One of my guys wasn't vaccinated and caught it. And then they vaccinated him. And it went away quicker.
Wow.
So there's so much that nobody knows about this thing. You know, we don't know the damage that it may take on your kidneys or your liver. Like, we don't know. And that's the scary thing. See, at least with HIV, everybody knows what's going on with that.
Well, it took many, many years to figure that shit out. And we're at the beginning of this monkeypox thing.
Yes, and that's what concerns me as well. I'm hoping that the medical community and our society at large will apply, you know, the same urgency to figuring out monkeypox as they did for AIDS. Right. Now, I'm hoping that they'll be a little quicker.
Let's hope.
Because we've made so many medical advancements. Right. You know, we can change the faces of people. We can give them big butts. We can give them big thighs. We can give them new noses. We can give them bigger titties. We can even a large penis. Hopefully, we have learned
to stop playing with your dicks and cure some shit.
Yeah. Hello. And do it quicker than we did when the AIDS virus was out, because now we have so much knowledge now. The medical community has so much knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they can get a handle around this quicker.
Right. Right.
Because what will happen is, because this thing can be spread unknowingly, this will spread really quick.
Yeah.
You know, let's
bring it back around too, because as we mentioned, it is seems to be spreading more quickly amongst the gay LGBTQ community. But you're not immune because you're heterosexual. And if you aren't in a monogamous relationship where everybody is 100% monogamous, you can be exposed to this too. And if you're off hooking up on Tinder or whatever,
Yes, exactly.
It's out there. Be safe.
Oh, you know, how I've, you know, dealt with my sex life has been very healthy, very robust. You know, I'm very much on the decadent side of it. You know, I was married once. That didn't work out too good. you know, tried the boyfriend thing, and just that didn't work out too well for me as well. You know, I've always been, you know, many boyfriends has been my thing. This has really caused me to, you know, rethink that. And what is that going to look like for Flash?
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay away from that right now, you know, because I'm sort of, and I'm really trying to look on the brighter side of this. And hey, look, Creator interrupted me with something that's going to point me in a different direction. You know, I've got a lot of projects I'm working on that now I can work on them with no distractions.
Quarantine, now you can focus.
I have all kinds of free time without thinking about sex. I can think about other things, and I have a lot of things I want to accomplish in my life. Mm-hmm. And now I can work on them and accomplish them and, you know, maybe elevate myself differently in other areas of my life. Right now, I'm only focusing on, you know, getting better and, you know, getting off of this 14-day, you know, self-quarantine thing so I can go back to my life, go back to work, and then just deal with the rest of this.
And worry about getting your abs back after you've healed, you know. Yes.
Oh, my God. Macaroni and cheese is not a good body build.
No, but, you know, get that fat in there. Do what you got to do. Keep yourself healthy. And I just really appreciate you taking the time to come on the podcast to share your very personal experience. And we've made it quite clear that that is not everybody's experience. Everybody is going to be a little bit different. And to get the actual medical information that the government is putting out, you can go to cdc.gov/poxvirus/monkeypox. Or just put in cdc.gov and do a search in their search thing for monkeypox. And they are really quite specific about a lot of things. Although I did not see the 12 to 15 week thing on there. It might be, and I just didn't notice it. But they are very specific about buttholes. It's important to be specific. <I don't know. laughs> But thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. And I hope that our listeners and viewers will get a lot of information from this. Also, I will be posting this on YouTube, not with Flash's face, but just to get more viewers, put the information out. And if you have questions for Flash, if you're experiencing monkeypox and have questions or whatever, please post those comments on YouTube. And he will be checking that feed and responding to them. So just to make sure that we're keeping a dialogue going.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I adore you.
Oh, I love you.
Get well soon.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too.
This is a one-woman show. You can show your support by liking and subscribing. Even better, contribute by visiting buymeacoffee.com/ESP Phoenix to financially support what I do and get a super cool original piece of artwork. Please visit my Etsy site, esperanzapaints.com. Check out the super cool hand sculpted mushroom ornaments too. Thanks again for taking the time to watch. And until next time, take care of yourself and the ones you love.